The Lord be with you. Elisha says to his beloved mentor, Elijah, as the Lord lives and as you live, I shall never leave you. But of course he does. We heard today that Coulter will be leaving us. God is taking him away, not to heaven, but to Montana, which is nice enough, I suppose. And for those of us who are behind, it is hard. Because like Elijah and Elisha, like Peter and Jesus, through our shared ministry together, we have come to like and love Coulter. It was a little less than 3 years ago that he arrived here in Chico. And shortly thereafter, the campfire hit. The beginning of his ministry here was defined by organizing people in this congregation to make meals to feed folks in shelters. And in the months afterwards, organizing this congregation to distribute mattresses to people who had literally no place to sleep. And then that summer, he led us in rejoicing with young children who had survived the campfire, helping them process the trauma of natural disaster that they had gone through by reading together the story of Noah's flood and learning there is hope in God's word. And now this year, through the pandemic, he has led us in making sure people get groceries and stay connected. And yet, while so much of his work here has been shaped by the disasters that have surrounded us these past few years, most of us have gotten to know and love Coulter because of what he shares here in worship, for his children's sermons that are playful and profound, making the gospel accessible not just to little children, but to those of us who are adults. But what you don't see is the gentleness and the comfort and the joy he brings the children and youth in our congregation, the silly songs he sees with the Sunday schoolers, the ways he teaches them to breathe and to relax and to find God's spirit within them. What you don't see is that last night we were up till 9 o'clock with 10 youth playing Minecraft. And I noticed myself thinking as we were building a world together in this video game, how good it is to be here. Which is, of course, what Peter says to Jesus on the mountaintop. And it's important to notice that the story of them going up the mountaintop together starts with 6 days later. And we need to ask what happened 6 days earlier. It's 6 days earlier that Jesus told the disciples that he would leave them, that he would be rejected, suffer, and he would die. And so 6 days later, they go up a mountaintop together, and Peter says to Jesus, "It's good for us to be here," which is another way of saying, "Don't go, Jesus." Today is Valentine's Day, and we get two scriptures about people who say goodbye. And at first I thought, what a bummer for Valentine's Day, and then I realized it is a blessing, because the truth is, no matter how much we love someone, one way or another, we are always going to have to say goodbye. And so the scriptures today teach us how to say goodbye well. Because saying goodbye well is the last gift of love that we have to offer someone. The scriptures today also tell us how not to say goodbye well. So let's start with those. And it offers us three ways that are really bad to say goodbye. The first one is what Peter does to Jesus when Jesus says that he's going to leave them to go die. It says that Peter rebuked Jesus. He scolds him for even daring to think of such a thing, We could try that. We can say, culture, how dare you leave us? Shame on you. But I tell you what, it's not going to work. And the last thing he'll remember is us being angry with him. Or worse yet, maybe it will work. And maybe he will abandon his dreams and stay here and resent us for that and be in a place where he is unhappy. So that's the first way we should not say goodbye, to rebuke people for wanting to leave. The second way we shouldn't say goodbye comes from Elisha, because he knows that his beloved teacher Elijah is going to leave him that day, and they take three trips together. And while Elisha says, I will never leave you, he doesn't say that he knows Elijah's going to leave. And in fact, two of the places that they journey to together, other students of Elijah show up and say to Elisha, hey, you know our teacher's about to leave, right? And Elisha says, don't talk about it. Keep your mouth shut. Be silent. And we could do that too. We could, for the next 3 months, not talk about the fact that culture is going to leave us. But you see, what happens in the scripture is that three times Elijah and Elisha crisscross Israel together, and yet they never talk about anything, because there is one thing that they desperately need to talk about, and they're not willing to, and so they can't say anything at all. Let's not do that. And the third way that the scriptures inform us that's really unhelpful to say goodbye is to pull back from the relationship. And the scriptures don't say this explicitly, but they're implied. And by that I mean, when Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to die, and Peter rebukes Jesus, and Jesus has to tell Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're putting your mind on worldly things, not on heavenly ones. There are 6 days after that before anything else happens in Mark's gospel. And you have to remember that Mark's favorite word is immediately. Mark's gospel is notorious for having one thing happen immediately after the next. But when Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to die, it's 6 days before anything happens. And I can't help but wonder if those 6 days are spent with the disciples wondering if they really actually want to keep following this guy when they know that he's just going to die and leave them. And we could spend the next 3 months pulling back from culture, saying, he's not going to be here forever, so what's the point of getting to know him better or sharing our life with him now? But the truth is, everyone in this world will someday leave us. There is an expiration date on every relationship. And so the question becomes, what are we going to do with the time that we have? Are we going to waste it just because it won't last forever? Or will we make the most of the precious time that God has given us? And this brings us to the three examples that the scriptures show us today of how to say goodbye well. And the first is to acknowledge when someone is leaving. Jesus is about as blunt as he can be with his disciples. He says, look, I'm going to be rejected, I'm going to suffer, and then I'm going to die. Elijah takes a little longer to warm up to that. He first crisscrosses Israel with Elisha. But then, after that awkward silence has dragged on long enough, eventually he too will confront the truth that he's leaving with his favorite student. He says to Elisha, what can I do for you before I am taken away? And that brings us to the second way to say goodbye well. It's to ask what we can do for the other person before they go. And I want to take a moment to let that sink in, because it's radically different from how we usually think about leaving. Usually we think about leaving and saying, I want to make a bucket list of all the things I want before I go. But that's not what Elijah does. Elijah says, what can I do for you before I go? And I will tell you, this is what Coulter has done. When he came to me and told me that he was leaving, he said, but I want to make clear, in the remaining months that I have, I am dedicating myself fully to the work of Faith Lutheran because I believe in it. He's already planned out all the youth events between now and May. He's come up with great service opportunities, not just that will help our community, but that will be spiritually transformative for the people who participate in them. He has literally said, what can I do for you before I am taken away? And the only way he could do that was by acknowledging that he was leaving. He could have taken the easy route and just given us 2 weeks' notice at the beginning of May. But instead, that he had the courage to face the fact that this relationship will change, that his time here will come to an end. And so I'm asking you to honor his integrity by leaning into the relationship, by asking him, what can we do for you before you are taken away? Asking what you can do for him to strengthen our ministry of youth and our ministry of service, but also what can you do for him on a personal level, while you still have a chance to give him a final gift of love. And the third thing the scriptures tell us about how to say goodbye well is to celebrate where the person is going. After Elijah has finally reached his destination, he does one thing. He rolls up his mantle and he strikes the River Jordan and he walks across it with Elisha. And in that act of parting the waters, he recalls Moses striking the Red Sea and parting it to lead the people into freedom. And he recalls Joshua parting the same waters of the Jordan to lead the people into the Promised Land. It's his way of telling his students that where he is going is a place of freedom. It's a place of promise. Elijah knows that he is going home and God is going to send sweet chariots to carry him home. Coulter, too, is heading home. He's heading home to Montana, to his hometown of Missoula, to his college friends, to the lakes and the mountains that he loves, to his family. He's going home to get married to his fiancée. This is a day of rejoicing for Coulter. So often when we say goodbye to someone, it's because we are headed somewhere new, somewhere good or better. Sometimes we're headed home, but it is a positive step for us. Or sometimes when we have to say goodbye to someone, it's because they are going where they are supposed to be, or perhaps we are, and they are where they are already supposed to be. And so though it is hard to say goodbye, may we rejoice when God calls people to the place that will bring them joy, whether that's in a new job or in a new relationship. But sometimes we say goodbye to people because they are dying. And that is the case with Jesus. Jesus has told his disciples that he is journeying to the cross, and that means death. But Jesus needs his disciples to know that the journey on which he is embarking is ultimately a good one. And so Jesus shows them. Jesus shows his disciples that where he is going is good by taking three of those disciples up a mountaintop, and there he is transfigured. His outward appearance shines with God's glory. His clothing is changed. In the same way that Moses' face and clothing was changed when Moses was in God's presence on the mountaintop. You see, Jesus is telling his disciples that he is going to where God is. And there they see that Moses and Elijah are with Jesus. Jesus is telling his disciples he is going to that place where all the heroes of faith are gathered. Jesus is telling his disciples, yes, he is going to the cross and going to death, but on the other side, he gives them a glimpse of what awaits. And what awaits is God. What awaits is the gathering of all the saints. What awaits is home. And that is true for all of us who follow Jesus. Eventually, we will get to that mountaintop also, to be in the presence of God and all the saints. And that's true in the life to come, but it's also true now. You see, in 3 months, on May 16th, here in the sanctuary, we will bless Coulter. And we will say goodbye, and we will send him forth. But the goodbye that we say is not forever. It's not even until the day of resurrection. Because as Coulter has already reminded us, we who are in Christ are always united. He will be in Missoula and we will be in Chico, but we will both be in Christ and we will both be laboring side by side along with Moses and Elijah and all the saints in God's vineyard. And it's a curious thing that those who walk in the way of Jesus have a habit of crossing paths. And so for the next 3 months, I ask you, say goodbye to Coulter well. Acknowledge that it's happening. And acknowledge in that your sorrow, but also acknowledge in that there is a joyous future ahead for Coulter and for us. And then ask what you can do. The council will be meeting this coming week to talk about tangible plans to prepare for this transition. And Coulter has committed to being a part of making sure this transition is as smooth as possible. He has asked what he can do for us. Let us ask what we can do for him before he is taken away. And third, let us rejoice in where he is going. Let us rejoice that he is going home to be surrounded by family and friends. Let us rejoice that he is going to be in Christ as we are. And so we will be united forever. Amen.